Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, entitled Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Maya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Ladies. Eka Shri Jati Bhutani. Bhagavan Atma Mayaya. Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha. Sukam Dukam Cha Nishkalaha. Ekaha. One. Sri Jati creates. Bhutani. different varieties of living entities. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atmamayaya, by his personal potencies. Esham, of all the conditioned souls. Bhandam, the conditional life. Cha, and moksham, the liberated life. Cha, also. Sukham, happiness. Dukam, distresses. Cha, and nishkalaha, not affected by the material qualities. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, unaffected by the conditions of the material world. He creates all the conditioned souls by his own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into different conditions of bondage. Sometimes, by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In sattva gun and rajo gun, he is subjected to happiness and distress. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The question may be raised, why the living entities are situated in different conditions, and who has arranged this? The answer is that it has been done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead without anyone's help. The Lord has His own energies. Rasya Shaktir Vividhaya Shruyate. And one of them, namely the external energy, creates the material world and the varieties of happiness and distress for the conditioned souls under the supervision of the Lord. The material world consists of three modes of material nature: sattvagun, rajagun, and tamogun. By sattvagun, the Lord maintains the material world. By rajagun, He creates it. And by tamogun, He annihilates it. After the varieties of living entities are created, they are subject to happiness and distress according to their association. When they are in sattvagun, the mode of goodness, they feel happiness. When in rajagun, they are distressed. And when in tamagun, they have no sense of what to do or what is right and wrong. Hare Krishna. So in this particular chapter, we see that King Chitraketu is traveling throughout the different universes, and he comes upon the abode of Lord Shiva, and he sees that Lord Shiva is sitting there with Mother Parvati on his lap, embracing in front of all the saints and sages. And somehow he finds this peculiar, and he laughs and mentions that. And Parvati, the mother of everyone, takes exception to the comment and curses him to become a demon. So King Chitraketu, he got down from his Vaman, his plane, and offered his obeisances in all humility to Mother Parvati and accepted that curse. And then he began to offer these explanations or prayers. So here we see that King Chittaketu is explaining that there are the living entities, and the living entities are certainly part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Mamaya Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. The living entities are Krishna's angsas. But the Lord is one in the sense that although there are many living entities in the plural that are part of Him, they are all maintained by Him. So in that sense, He is the singular, ekada, eka, one. The living entity is eternal. The Supreme Lord is also eternal. But the living entities are dependent on the Supreme Lord. Some philosophers make the mistake that the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one. And we say that yes, they are one in quality. The Lord is eternal, the living entity is eternal, the Lord is full of knowledge, the living entity is full of knowledge. The Lord is full of bliss and the living entity in his original state is full of bliss. But at the same time, there's a difference. The example is given in Shastra that welcome back, Hare Krishna. That you have the ocean, and in the ocean there are many waves, right? Many waves are coming. So these waves are compared to the living entities. There's so many. If you go to the Juhu Beach and you try to count the waves, maybe you can count all the waves, but it would take a long time. Right? They keep coming. But although the waves are part of the ocean, still any one particular wave is not the whole ocean. Right? One particular wave is not the whole ocean, although the waves are part of the ocean. So, similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of God, but any one particular living entity is not God. And this is what the impersonalist would have us believe, that the living entity, although in Maya, although conditioned by the material nature, can become God through meditation or whatever process. So this is refuted by all the Vaishnava acharyas, the Supreme Lord is eternally separate, and at the same time the living entities are coming from the Supreme Lord. The nature of the living entity is described as marginal. Means that the living entity can go either way. The living entity can identify with his eternal nature, or the living entity can misidentify as being part of the material nature. The material nature is also the energy of the Supreme Lord. And it consists of the three modes of material nature. So here Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that this material world is also Krishna's energy. It comes from Krishna. He's made everything. All the variety that we see in the material world is coming from Krishna. It's all happening by His arrangement. As opposed to the living entities who become affected by the material energy, they become contaminated when they identify with the material energy, and they become situated in the modes of material nature, which Srila Prabhupada also describes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Ignorance means sleeping in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Ignorance. We become affected by ignorance, right? We become affected by the mode of passion, goodness. When the living entity is situated in the mode of goodness, the living entity experiences happiness. When the living entity is situated in the mode of passion, the living entity experiences distress. And Srila Prabhupada describes the mode of ignorance. They have no sense of what to do, or what is right, or what is wrong. Ignorance. The example that Srila Prabhupada gives is like sparks in the fire. You have the original fire. It has heat. It has light. And then sometimes from the original fire, the sparks fly off. And that's compared to the living entities. The original fire, the Supreme Lord, and the sparks, the living entity. Okay? So the sparks fall down in various places. If a spark falls down into the grass, the heat of the spark can ignite the grass into a fire. If the spark falls down on the ground, the spark maintains its heat and light for some time, but then eventually becomes cold. And if the spark falls down in the water, it immediately is extinguished. Right? So falling down, the spark falling into the grass, Srila Prabhupada explains, it's like the mode of goodness, right? The mode of goodness, the living entity can from the mode of goodness, the living entity can rekindle, it's conducive to rekindle his original consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, right? Jiva Swarupoya Nitya Krishna Das, his mentality of servitorship, of service to the Supreme Lord. So that mode of goodness, that spark falling down in the grass and the fire coming up, the fire of spiritual consciousness is available to the living entity who gets situated in the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness in itself doesn't create that, but it's conducive. And the spark that falls down on the ground is compared to the living entity in the mode of passion. The mode of passion is such that the living entity feels creative. It's going to create something. It's going to make something. Right? And he struggles to make the Empire State Building. Right? 100 stories. But in the end, for all his struggle and all his effort and all his passion, distress, difficulty, frustration, right? Somebody else makes another building that's 101 stories and he's frustrated. He can't live in that building forever, Prabhupada said, right? But he's attached to the building. But he has to die. But because he's attached to the building, in his next birth he has to take birth as a rat in the Empire State Building. Right? Frustration. The underlying frustration. Motive passion. In the beginning there's some semblance of happiness, but very quickly it turns into distress and difficulty. Right? You know, there's a saying that when the man gets married, he's king for a day. He has a crown, sits in the yajna, right? One crown, rides in on a horse, right? The band, bhaja, comes into the wedding arena. It's like the king for the day. But then he becomes slave for the rest of his life. So motive passion, that's a motive passion. And then there's the mode of ignorance. When the spark falls down onto the water and immediately is extinguished. There's no semblance. The living entity is steeped in sleep, insanity, making all foolish choices in life of what to do. Mode of ignorance. So although the Supreme Lord makes this arrangement for the living entity to be in, at the same time the Lord is unaffected by this. The Lord is unaffected. The living entities have so many desires to fulfill, and they try to fulfill those desires by performing various fruitive activities in the material world. And in this way they experience sukham and dukkham, some happiness and distress. But this is not the case for the Lord. He creates this material world, but he's unaffected by it. He's not caught up in it. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the mithaiwala, the sweet maker, right? He makes so many different kinds of sweets, sandesh, gulab jamun, rasgulla, right? Rajbhog in Bengal, they have one, right? Mishti dahi. It's time to go to Mayapur, right? Mishti dahi. But he's making all day sweets. He's not attracted by eating the sweets, right? So the Supreme Lord, his position is like that. He creates this material world. It's coming from him. He's the master of it. It's the conditioned souls who come here and become bewildered by the material nature, trying to fulfill their desires by manipulating the material elements. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that we should never think the Lord is like the living entities. This is a mistake that the impersonalists also make. and the conditions souls make. They may think that, yes, Krishna's a very great person, and he became self-realized. But Krishna explains that such persons who have this consciousness that equates the Lord with the conditioned soul, they are mudhas. Mudhas. They're foolish. Like, if someone's in prison, he's in prison and the king comes to visit the prison to inspect the jail. And the prisoners see the king. And they say, see, the king is just like us. He's in jail. Is the king in jail? No, he's come to inspect. He's come to see the situation of the inmates. And if the inmates think that, oh, the king is just like us, he's also in the jail, that's their foolishness, their mudhas. In the same way, the Supreme Lord, out of his causeless mercy, sometimes he manifests his pastimes in this world for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Just like when Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. Out of his causeless mercy, for the conditioned souls to appreciate, to hear about, to be able to discuss and remember his glorious pastimes. Like Krishna's birth, his killing of the demons, Kamsa, and so many other demons. Every day one new demon was coming and Krishna was killing the demons. So this allows the conditioned souls to remember those glorious pastimes. And by that remembrance, the conditioned souls can become free from the contamination of this material energy consisting of the three modes of material nature. So as King Chitraketu is explaining this to Mother Parvati, we can benefit from this. Understanding our own position as conditioned souls in the material world, being tightly under the grip of the material nature, and take advantage of the facility of devotional service. Because by rendering devotional service, one can become similarly, just as the Lord is unaffected by the material world, the living entity can also become unaffected by the material world by devotional service. It's not possible to become unaffected by the material world through performing karmic activities. In the Vedic literatures, there are many prescriptions for performing sacrifices with the idea of getting some result. These sacrificial performances definitely produce some material result. But there are no karmic sacrifices or prescriptions in the Vedas that can make us free from the contamination of this material world. They can keep us in the higher mode of goodness, but if one wants to transfer oneself beyond goodness to the spiritual platform of being unaffected by the three modes of material nature, one has to take to the process of pure devotional service, which begins by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare King Chitraketu was unaffected by the curse. He was situated in devotional service. He had personally had the darshan of the Lord, Ananta. Right? So he realized in this condition or that condition, distress or happiness, it's all one and the same. And Prahlad Maharaj, he's also giving the same instruction. When he was talking to his demoniac friends, he was explaining to them that one should, from the very beginning of life, try to develop one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. This is the really important activity for the living entity. Simply performing activities with the idea of getting happiness is not the goal of life. And Prahlad tried to convince his friends by saying that certainly we don't search out distress. We don't work very hard so that we can get cancer. Nobody goes to the medical shop to buy a bottle of cancer, right? Or something that's going to give them disease. But yet disease comes on its own. Miseries come on their own, difficulties, problems. So Prahlad Maharaj said that just as we don't seek out these problems and difficulties, but yet they come, by the reactions of our previous activities, in the same way, happiness will also come on its own by the reaction of our previous activities. So therefore, one should not waste one's time trying to mitigate the sufferings or increase the happiness because it's already fixed up. Rather, one should work in such a way to reestablish one's lost relationship with the Supreme Lord so that one can experience Anandam Buddhivarta, eternal happiness, a whole ocean of happiness. The happiness in the material world is described to be just like a drop of water in the desert. We're looking for happiness. Everybody wants happiness. But in the material world, what's available? Just a drop of happiness. You know, momentary sense pleasure. It's just like a drop of water in the desert. If you're in the desert, you're dying of thirst. Your tongue is completely parched with dryness, and you're saying, water, 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 water. And somebody says, I'll give you water. And they take a little eyedropper and they said, here, open up your tongue, here's some water, and they give you one little drop on your tongue. What is the good of that? Right? The material world is like that. We're looking for happiness, we're struggling for happiness. Our whole anticipation is how to get happiness. And all you get is a little drop of sense pleasure. Rather, what we're really looking for is an ocean of happiness, unending happiness. Anandam buddhivardhanam. But that's only available in devotional service, pure devotional service. Devotional service that's not mixed with any desire for fruitive activities. Sometimes we come to Krishna consciousness and we think, yes, I will serve Krishna. I will go to temple and I will put 10 rupees in the hundi. And when I put 10 rupees in the hundi, I'll pray to Krishna, please give me 1 lakh. This is doing business with Krishna, right? Oh, 10 rupees dalte hain, lekin 1 lakh le rahe hain. Bhagwan murkha hai kya? Yet people are thinking like that. They come for darshan, they put 1 rupee. Huh? 1 rupee darshan. And then Krishna should give them whatever they want. Huh? This is not devotional service. This is making God our order supplier. Hmm? I want so many things. Huh? I've come to stand before you. Now you give me. Of course, such persons, Prabhupada said, are pious. At least they come to God for what they want. They're better than the atheist, right? Who don't care for God. They think by their own power they will get whatever they want. This is the atheist. So better than them are the persons who are pious and come to the Lord for what they want. But this is not pure devotional service. This is not what is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. What's recommended by all the acharyas and saints and sages is that one be ready to satisfy the Lord with whatever the Lord wants without expecting anything in return. Unalloyed. Unalloyed. You know what that means? What's the Hindi word for unalloyed? Alloyed means something mixed. You have like an alloy. It means you take little zinc and you take some steel, you put them together, you get stainless steel. It's an alloy of zinc and steel. Or maybe something else. I'm not sure. But when we say unalloyed, means no mixture, pure. That's without desire, nishkam, without desire. Unalloyed. Pure. Pure. Yes, we say pure devotional service. Anyway, there's some words that may be difficult to translate into Hindi. Unalloyed. Amishra. Amishrik. Right. No mixture. He made up a new word in Hindi. Nayabanaya. Anyway, the point is, I think you get the point, that without any desire for fruitive result, without any mental speculation, without any desire for some mystic perfection, because this is what people want. Some people want some material happiness. Work hard, get the result, and enjoy the result. Other persons know that ultimately that's frustrating. They have some knowledge that this won't make them happy. So they want to become, acquire lots of knowledge and understand what's spiritual, what's not spiritual, and ultimately obtain liberation. And even though they also want something, they want freedom from the suffering. And then you have the mystics, the yogis. They want to obtain some perfection. Right? So all these categories of persons, they don't experience pure devotional service. They're not candidates for pure devotional service. The candidate for pure devotional service aspires to render service to the Supreme Lord, nishkam bhakti, without any desire for anything in return. Only the devotee is only concerned with the satisfaction of the Lord. So this is very rarely achieved. It's not easily available. But it's possible by following the instructions of the pure devotee of the Lord, by keeping association with the pure devotee of the Lord, one can gradually come to that platform of pure devotional service. And then it won't matter. It won't matter if we're living in a hellish city like Bombay, right? One will see everything in relationship to Krishna. One will see Krishna everywhere in the heart of every living entity. One's concern will only be to serve Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Microphone? It's in the back. There's a question in there.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Actually, the question is not directly related to this class, but something very interesting occurred. Actually, you said that God is beyond the modes of nature.
That was part of the class.
Yeah. So, there's a very interesting seminar going on in the Bhakti Kalakshetra auditorium. The name of the seminar is Deep Talks, which happens every Sunday. And the topics, I just read the topics. The first topic is Ahankar Se Mukti, getting freed from ego. And the second topic is Bhagwan Banna Chahte Ho, To Der Kis Baat Ki? Abhi Banayenge Bhagwan. If you want to become God, why delay? Become and, God immediately.
And we say yes, those are very deep talks. Deep in Maya. Yeah. Very deep, deep down in Maya. And we don't want to go to those deep talks. The only good thing for those people is that they paid some money to use the auditorium. That's all. Otherwise, they're going deeper and deeper into the mode of ignorance. What a foolish thing. You'll become God. Right? You can't see your hand in front of your face if the light is off, but you think you're going to become God? At every moment we're controlled by the material energy. Just see how the audience is controlled. Some person can stand up there and talk any nonsense. And they think, oh yes, very good, very good. Very interesting. Deep talks, deep talks. No reference from Shastra. No light from the Acharyas. No guidance. They're told any damn thing and they just, oh yes, yes. We're not so fools. We have Guru. We have sadhu, we have shastra. We can check what this person is telling is authorized or not. Right? Yes, we should have deep talks. But what is the talks have to be about Krishna? Right? The talks have to be about based on shastra. Then it can actually elevate us. Bring us to a higher level of understanding. They're trying to understand how to be in this material world, how to adjust things in the material world. The devotee's not interested at all in adjusting things in this material world. The devotee knows it's futile to adjust things here. But even that's not a mental adjustment. Because for the pure devotee of the Lord, he's factually unaffected by the material world. He becomes completely free from the entanglement of the modes of nature. So real deep talks are talks that are in relationship to Krishna, that are about Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But you won't find that there. Any other question? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. Shiva is a Dhir Purusha, so he is not affected by even if Mother Parvati is sitting on the lap. So I just wanted to know, he is also one of the Mahajan. So why in front of all the sages, you know, he performed that pastime? Like, is it purposefully he did like that, or what exactly is the reason why Shiva did like that when all sages are sitting like that? He may not be himself affected, but why did he?
Well, that's his wife. At least it wasn't his girlfriend or something like that. He's married to Parvati. They're always together, Lord Shiva and Parvati.
I take a wrong example, like so.
Like Chitraketu did.
Yeah.
What happened to him? You're trying to put me in trouble here? What? Chitraketu thought it was odd. He thought it was strange. But all the saints and sages, they were all sitting there. The great saints and the sages. They didn't say anything. So Chitraketu could have thought, well, all of these saints and sages are not saying anything. And certainly Lord Shiva knows the conclusion of Dharma. He's the father of living entities. Parvati's the mother. And they're not saying anything. Maybe I ought to keep my mouth shut and try to understand intellectually what's going on instead of just, you know, laughing and making a comment, which cost him to be cursed as a demon. But at the same time, that curse was a benediction, because the Lord wanted to take Chitraketu back to the spiritual world, back to Vaikuntha, very quickly. So this arrangement was there for him to be cursed by Parvati, to take birth as a demon and killed by Indra, so that he could quickly go back. So the Lord, whatever the Lord does, whatever arrangements he has, is for the benefit of the devotee. So the fact that Lord Shiva was sitting there with Parvati in front of all the saints and sages was also the arrangement of the Lord for the benefit of King Chitraketu.
Hare Krishna. Krishna is the only enjoyer and all others are his eternal servitors. Distress comes to living entity without asking for. Similarly, happiness also comes to him without asking for. So when distress comes, a devotee will tolerate it. When happiness comes, should he accept it or should he reject it, or should he accept it remembering Krishna?
Or accept it even though what?
Should he accept happiness remembering Krishna?
Even though?
Remembering Krishna.
Remembering Krishna. Well, the devotee of the Lord never forgets Krishna. Whether it's happiness or whether it's distress, he knows that it's coming from Krishna. And when he's placed in distress, he thinks that the Lord has given me this distress so that I will depend on him. And when he's put in a happy situation, he knows that's also coming from the Lord. And he thinks, oh, in this consciousness, let me try to serve Krishna even better. So for the devotee, happiness and distress, they're one and the same thing. They're incentives to think of Krishna. It's a motivation to think of Krishna, whether it's happiness or whether it's distress. He knows that in a happy situation, the materialist, in a happy situation, they forget God. Who's God? Who needs God? We have everything we want, plenty to eat, we have cars, we have the latest mobile. Who needs God? It's only when the distress comes, they get some disease, Ebola, HIV, or chikungunya, or whatever it's called. Then, oh God, what to do? Please save us. That's the materialist. But the devotee's mentality is different. That's the whole point Chitraketu is making here. And at the end of the chapter, Lord Shiva also says, you've cursed him, but it doesn't make any difference. Because the devotees of the Lord are Narayana Parayana. They're completely dependent on the Supreme Lord. So whatever condition they're in, they stay, they're steady, depending on Krishna, whether happiness or distress.
Hare Krishna.
It's not that the devotee says, oh, I'm happy today. Oh, God, give me some distress so that I won't be happy. No. But if he's happy, he realizes that's the mercy of the Lord. So let me perform my duties nicely in this state, this coming from Krishna. Our tendency, though, is different. You know, if we're feeling a little bit happy, then we start to see the, you know, the blue sky and the fresh air, and we think, oh, I can enjoy. And then Krishna has to immediately come to the devotee and give him some nice distress so that he comes to his senses. Oh, difficulties. I'm not able to enjoy. I better chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Lord Shiva is Dhira Purusha, but just on seeing the Mohini Murti form of Lord Vishnu, he started running after her. So in that case, how can we understand that he is Dhir Purusha?
Who is Mohini Murti?
Lord Vishnu.
Answers your question. He's attracted by Vishnu. He ran after Vishnu.
That's it.
Any other questions? Yeah. Yes? You want to give him the microphone?
Prabhuji, आप बोल रहे थे हम सभी जीवात्मा भगवान के पास से आए हैं इसलिए भगवान के पास भी ज्ञान है हमारे पास भी ज्ञान है भगवान के पास भी आनंद है हमारे पास भी तो ज्ञान का मतलब हुआ प्रभु जी भगवान को भगवान के पास जाना फिर दोबारा वापस तो हम लोग जा नहीं रहे हैं तो इसका मतलब ज्ञान क्या है
well our yes we the lord has knowledge we have knowledge but our knowledge can become covered over whereas the lord's knowledge is never covered over due to identifying with the material nature, the knowledge of the living entity becomes contaminated. The real identity of the living entity is to be the servant of the Lord. That's knowledge. But in contact with the material nature, that knowledge becomes polluted and the living entity begins to think that I will become the master and people will serve me. I will be served instead of I will serve. So the Lord's knowledge never becomes covered over. And that's the difference. Although we're full of knowledge, the Lord is full of knowledge. We're tatasta. We can go this way or that way. Marginal. And devotional service means to purify our consciousness so that we come to our original pure state of knowledge as the servants of Krishna. And that's the difference. Did they translate that for you from the back? Anuvad kiya? Okay, good. Thank you very much for the anuvad, Raghava. Okay, we're over time. Yes, I'm sorry. Last question.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Prabhuji, we are the living entities and we desire, even Krishna desires. So when we desire, we are put into the in this world and we have to suffer either happiness or distress, sukham, dukham. But when Krishna desires, so what is the difference between our desire and Krishna's desire?
Well, if we don't always have to have the if we have a desire, that's the very basis of the living entity's existence. Krishna desires, so we also have desires. It's not that at any point you'll become free from desires, you'll have desires. But right now, because we are conditioned, our desires are for something material. Again, it's just like I explained. Our knowledge has become polluted. Instead of thinking, having desires to cooperate with the enjoyment or the senses of the Supreme Lord, we're thinking, how do I gratify my senses? Which are not actually my senses. Anyway, this body is part of the material nature, which is the energy of Krishna. I'm just identifying with it as mine, but it's not actually mine. So in the pure state, it's not that the living entity doesn't have desires. That's the Mayavadis. They think you have to become free from desire, desireless. But it's not possible for the living entity to become desireless. The very nature of the living entity, like the Lord, is to have desires. But when those desires are in relationship with the enjoyment of the Lord, that becomes our natural position. Then we become properly situated. We desire the pleasure of the Lord. Material consciousness means I'm desiring satisfaction through the material nature, senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is not possible because we're not part of that. We are not this gross material body or the mind or the false ego. We're eternal spiritual sparks, part and parcel of Krishna. Prabhupada so many times give the example, it's like the hand. The hand cooperates with supplying food to the stomach. And if the hand thinks, okay, we've had enough of this, the stomach's getting all the food, and now the hand, let us hands just enjoy the food without giving it to the stomach. And we'll hold the hand. But what will happen? The whole body becomes weak. Because the natural system is that supply food to the stomach and the hand naturally gets the benefit. In the same way, the living entity is trying to artificially be the supreme in this world. But it doesn't mean that in the pure state he doesn't have desires, but those desires are in relationship to Krishna, for the satisfaction of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. When Krishna has desires, he has desires, but those are in relation with his devotees. Like he looks out and he sees all the conditioned souls and he desires that they come back and engage in his service. So sometimes for that purpose he'll appear in this world to guide as he did as Lord Krishna and gave the Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, although he said in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prityajamami Kamsananam Raja, surrender. They didn't surrender. So Srila Prabhupada explains, he came back again. Krishna came back again, but this time, not as Krishna, but as Krishna's devotee in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he didn't say surrender. He just said, take the mercy. Become a devotee of Krishna. And he freely distributed that in the form of the Panchatattva. That's why before we chant Hare Krishna, we always chant Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Because that form of the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita, they're freely distributing this highest thing, love of Godhead. Simply we have to be willing to take it. And many times, we're not even willing to take it, still we get caught up in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unique loving network. And inadvertently, we get caught. That's the extreme loving mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vitaigo Premanande.